Judy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I hope everybody had a good week.
Yes, thank you.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Gedula Chamin Ta.
Ta.
How are you? We have people on the conference call being recorded, so please join us. Pull up chairs. The gematria of those six letters is 506, which connects to the Hebrew phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love, and also to the name of God, Vav Shin Resh, which deals with memories. Not the traditional memories, but memories that allow you to perceive the errors in your life and change them. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Aharenu Noah Upreshayan Sifet Nun. This sequence spells two Hebrew words, cross satan, which means tear up satan, tear up the negativity. And the same letters can be rearranged to spell sha'ar katan, which means small gates, and it reminds us to guard our gates, our eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, which are the entry point for the negative system. Na gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Givavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Nun Gimel Dalet, the first three letters, has a gematria of 57, which is the same as the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah, or sustenance. And sustenance has the meaning of the fulfillment of our desires. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that we utilize to take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. We also use this sequence to take any part of our body that needs healing and take it back to its stem cell state where it can be cleansed and repaired and rejuvenated, and then returning it back to its pristine state within our body where it will act properly once again. Barchem tacharem rachameh sitkacha tamid yamlem betet resh baditav gimel. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah Netzach and its attribute of eternal victory. Chasin kadosh v'rov tuvcha na'el adata ketuv bet tet nunayin. This sequence connects us to the Sefer of Hod and its attribute of appreciation and thankfulness. Yafid ge'eh Lamcha p'nei zofrei kedushata Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence helps to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium, during this, our generation. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Kalumot Shin Kuf Vav, Tzadi Yud Taf. The first two letters, Shin and Kuf, have a gematria of 400, which represents the four worlds times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. This represents completion and ultimately perfection. The last four letters have the same gematria as the first verse, 506, which connects us to the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love. And we learn from this that the path to perfection, the path to completion, is through the injection of unconditional love. And being able to use the name of God, Bav Shin Resh, to be able to see where we've made the errors and correct them. The letters of the month of Tammuz, the Chet that created the constellation Sartan, the constellation Cancer, or the Crab, and the Ta that created the planet we call the Moon. When we connect these letters to the higher worlds, we're able to add a kolel, an additional number for each letter, which gives us the gematria of 410, which represents holiness, kadosh. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper, but I will say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vayet. I'm reading now from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Balak. The Anabakoach, which we just did, will go into much more detail next week. And that is to bring the energy of creation into our space, both our virtual space and our physical space. Verse 298 in section 24 of the Parasha of Balak. The donkey began to bray three times. Rabbi Pinchas dismounted and said to his friends, let's prepare to receive the welcome of Atik Yomim, meaning the Shekhinah, because now a great face and a small face are coming towards us, meaning Rabbi Shimon and his disciples. Rabbi Shimon heard the braying of the donkey and said to his friends, let us rise, because the voice of the holy elder's donkey has risen towards us. Rabbi Shimon rose, and the friends rose. This verse is taken out in the middle of a section. So what is it talking about? It's talking about the donkey that in the portion of Balak, Bilam was riding his donkey, which, according to the Midrash, he was not didn't treat very well. And the donkey was able to see an angel where Bilam was not able to see the angel. And the donkey stopped, and Bilam hit the donkey three times. The donkey started talking. And the same talking donkey is written about in the Zohar, both in this section and in other sections, because the donkey in Hebrew has the same word for physicality, chamor. And so there's really a metaphor involved in that story, in the concept of the donkey and talking. There's a lot of details and a lot of spiritual laws connected to it. Does anybody have any questions? Sorry to... OK. catch up in a little bit. Nobody has any questions? Okay. Tonight's class is about the history of the world. It's answering the questions, why were we born, and what are we to do here in this world, among other very common human questions that have been going on for centuries, for thousands of years. The handout is on the website, which is available at www.yeshem.com/. Actually, you don't have to do a forward slash. At the top of the web page, there's a red bar that has some links. The link that says Revealed Wisdom, if you click on that, it takes you to a page where all of the classes and the recordings have been posted on the website. So if you scroll down the bottom of that Revealed Wisdom page, the left column is the basic class, which is what we're teaching here. And this is class number 2. So if you click on class number 2, you will find all of the previous recordings, plus tonight's handout, plus the handout from the dot test from last week. Did anybody try and do the dot test? I know one person commented on, sent me an email about what they saw when they were looking at the dot test.
I tried it, but I couldn't get it.
Okay. Well, let me describe how to do it. But you can see it on the website if you're able to get to the website, and if not, there's people here in the room who are new to this week, and I don't think you've seen this. I did send out to those who let me know. But if you start in the, let's say, the lower left corner and take a line directly to the right through the three dots and past the space of one dot, then you do a diagonal line that connects the middle dot on the right line and the top line middle dot, and you go again outside of that area, one space, so that you end up right above the left top dot. That's the second line. Then you draw from that point down through to where you started. That's the third line. And the fourth line is a diagonal that connects the unconnected dots. That way you can connect all 9 dots with 4 straight lines without taking your pen off the paper. If you don't go outside the box, you cannot do that. And not only if you don't go outside the box twice, you can't do it. And the problem is, and the purpose of the test, as we talked about last week, that the world is an illusion, that our senses are designed to interfere with the reality, and we see illusion. It's why our eyes see upside down. The light from an object goes in upside down. And all of our senses, I don't have the time to go into it again, but all of our senses create illusions. And the essence of the teaching of this particular test is for you to realize that you have to change the way you think in order to be able to see reality. You have to think outside the box, but not just outside the box in its normal context. You have to go outside the box twice. You have to keep going outside the box, and you'll be amazed at where you end up. So I'm starting to read from the handout. So from last week, that you might want to just take a quick look at. It'll prove to you that you will prove to yourself, you will experience for yourself the illusion, because most people who don't speak English as a first language don't get the number correctly. And if they do get the number correctly on this test, the next test, which is the same type of idea, they make the mistake. But it's just the way people are. Tonight we're answering the question as to why we were born, why you were born. Also the associated question of what am I to do while I am in this world. There are other associated questions that are too numerous to list, but you will get the idea from these questions. One question might be, why is the world so painful? Or why do good people suffer? Or why do bad people have it so good in this world? I hope you get the idea. We will answer these questions tonight. Please understand, we are not going to answer these questions specifically to you tonight. This specific information for yourself is available in the teachings of the Kabbalah, and we will describe these tools and the information generally. With study, you will be able to answer these questions for yourself, about yourself. Yet the spiritual system is such that we cannot just hand over to you the specifics as it applies to you. To do that would harm you spiritually by adding to your bread of shame. The Hebrew words are lechem mizayot. This is a Kabbalistic concept that we will explain tonight. Also, this is a one-hour class. It is a short, very short synopsis of a lifetime study. Please keep that in mind. You are going to be given truths, yet they are simplistic truths, since it is a lifetime study. And remember, I am not here to prove anything to anybody. I am here to give you information that you can choose to take into your life and experience proving to yourself what I say is truthful. To answer the above questions, we have to start at a beginning that is significantly before the beginning described in the Torah or the Bible or the book of Genesis chapter 1. I will use the term tonight, Torah. This is the Old Testament of the King James Bible and the Tanakh of the Hebrew nomenclature. The Tanakh consists of 24 books of the Scroll of Moses, the books, scrolls of the prophets, and the writings of the Hebrew sages like the Psalms or the Proverbs, or the scrolls of Job and Ruth. There are many beginnings. There is a single first cause of all causes that causes a beginning. It is not the phrase in the Torah, in the beginning, or Bereshit, bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz, which is the first verse in the Torah. Let us explain briefly to you about the corruption of translation. We lose something in translation. We lose energy. We lose consciousness. We lose understanding. The first word of the Hebrew is Bereshit, spelled Bet Resh Aleph Shin Yud Tav. Do not worry, you do not need to learn Hebrew. You will find out next week that you may choose to do so as a method of benefiting yourself. In the Torah scroll, there are no vowels, which are dots above, below, or next to the Hebrew letters. Therefore, the word can be read with various vowels, which changes the meaning of the words in the Torah. In this case, Bereshit, which means in a beginning, can also be pronounced Bereshit, which means in the beginning. I am sure you realize that in a beginning implies that there are multiple beginnings. Some happen before this one, and some happen after this one, and some may even happen simultaneously to this one. We are going to what the Kabbalists call the cause of all causes, which is absolutely the first beginning that we as human beings can understand or conceive of. Yes, there is a cause prior to this. I need to say there's no time where we are talking about. So prior has no meaning. But there is a cause prior to this. Yet Rabbi Ashlag, who is the teacher, there's a series of Kabbalists over the centuries. Rabbi Ashlag was the foremost Kabbalist of the 20th century. He teaches that as long as we are connected to a physical body, we have no capability to relate to or understand the cause that caused this cause I'm going to talk about. So relative to our physical world, this is the cause of all causes. To try and understand or talk about what came before that, what is the cause before that, is a waste of time, according to Rabbi Ashlag, and I follow his teachings. He's proven to me, through my own experience, that what he says is always correct. These teachings come primarily from the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, who taught only one student, Rabbi Chaim Vital, who wrote the teachings into various books and essays. The one that deals with this area is called the Etz Chaim, the Tree of Life. In that book, the question that is asked initially is, what is the purpose of creation? The reason is that the Blessed Holy One had to be complete in all of his deeds and powers and all of his names of greatness, perfection, and honor. He did not need the creation, but the creation does make him complete. That's a paradox. He doesn't need it, and yet it completes him. Let me try and explain this. If he had not brought forth his deeds, if he had not brought forth his creation, he could not have been called complete, so to speak, either in his actions, in his names, or in his attributes. A quick explanation is that Hashem, what I call God, has the name Adonai, or Lord. Without something to be Lord over, he cannot be called Lord. And therefore, the creation needed to be to allow him to be complete. Do not make the mistake to think that the Creator needs the creation. This is truly absurd. His initial creation is called Ein Sof, which is translated as the endless world. A more direct translation would be Ein means nothingness. Sof means end. Without this endless world, within this endless world are all of the creatures and creations that will ever come into existence, yet only in potential. This is because the endless world is uniform and unified. Those terms are Kabbalistic terms that do take a lifetime to understand. You and I existed in the endless world as potential human beings. Actually, we existed as potential souls. But in the endless world, we're only in potential. We are unified with every other part of the creations. Within these potential creations are what's called ten sephirot, that when fulfilled are called worlds. These ten sephirot have two types of potential existence. One is as dots of immense size, created in a straight line, the higher one causing the lower one to come into existence. These dots are connected by a straight line. To clarify slightly, they are immense, yet relative to the Creator, they are dots. Another way they were created is in three columns, a sharing column composed of three sephirot, a receiving column composed of three sephirot, and a central column composed of four sephirot, which balances between the two aspects of sharing and receiving. This structure is called the Tree of Life. You may have seen the diagram. The names of the sephirot or the worlds will only confuse you at this time. After the basic class, you will find it easier to understand these names and to use them properly. There are thousands of two-dimensional diagrams of the Tree of Life. Rabbi Ashlag teaches us that to see them is to limit ourselves. If you have seen a glyph, a diagram before, try to put it out of your mind. Only later will you begin to appreciate this teaching and this recommendation. Also know that many of these diagrams are corrupted and inaccurate. Let us return to the discussion of the endless world, which consists of two aspects, light and vessel. The vessel is a desire to receive. The light is the fulfillment of that, or any desire, and all of its subcomponents. As an example, if someone wants $1,000, he also wants $999, and $998, and $997, and so forth. He actually wants down to one penny. These are called subcomponents of a desire to receive. If someone wants $1,000 and has $999, it is said he is not completely fulfilled, but only partially fulfilled. In the endless world, there is no such thing as being unfulfilled or even partially fulfilled. Since the fulfillment caused the desire to be created, it knows what each vessel and component vessel wants, and fulfills it prior to the vessel even realizing it does not have what it wants and desires something and feels a lack. There is no feeling of lack in the endless world. There is only complete fulfillment. I call that serenity. The endless world consists of complete unity, since there is no desire that is not fulfilled. This went on for eons. Remember, there is no time, only lack and fulfillment of that lack. And in the endless world, lack is never felt, so nothing knows of its consciousness of lack. I must digress to a metaphor to explain what happened in and to the endless world. If we go out to dinner every day for 10 years, every dinner is better than the last one. The food is amazing. The music is divine. The conversation is incredibly fulfilling and stimulating. Night after night, year after year, month after month, day after day, for 10 years, what's going to happen at the end of that or during that? How are you going to feel if every night I excuse myself at the end of the night and I go to the maitre d' and arrange to pay the bill? This is my treat. For 10 years, I take you out to dinner. How are you going to feel?
Grateful.
Grateful? Okay. How are you going to feel?
Satisfied.
Satisfied? Okay.
I feel like I'm not pulling my own weight.
One gentleman said, what's your name?
Jim
says he would feel like he's not pulling his own weight, and that's absolutely correct. And that's what's called bread of shame. And that's what happened in the endless world. The vessel, who was being fulfilled constantly, said, I'm not pulling my own weight. The more I receive, the worse I feel. The more shame I feel that I'm not pulling my own weight. This is called bread of shame. This is what happened in the endless world. What happened is the vessel went to the Creator went to the light, to the fulfillment, and said, I don't want. The more I eat, the worse I feel. I'd rather not eat. The fulfillment said, that's also a desire. How do I fulfill a desire for no fulfillment? The fulfillment came to the vessel and said, I have an idea. How about, I understand you have no way to share, to pull your own weight in the endless world. But how about if I disappear and you become actualized, all of your billions and trillions and whatever, people, grass, animals, atoms, because that's all in the endless world. Every creation is there. What if I disappear and you have a place where you can share with each other and you will see each other as separate from yourself, not unified like you do here? And the vessel said, well, if I don't eat, I die. So this is not a bad deal. And that was the agreement that was met. This world would be created. We would come down from the endless world to this world where we can share with each other, where we can take care of each other, where we can pull our own weight with each other. This is what happened in the endless world. And this is what's known as the Tsimtsum, the withdrawal of the light, the withdrawal of the fulfillment. So we can't sense it. We don't know it's here. It hasn't left, but it's not here to our senses. That's why the bread of shame is the reason that the world was created, the physical world was created. And it was created in 6 days, which are metaphors for 13.5 billion years, according to science. The physical world is created. We come down, and we have 7,000 years. Actually, we have 7 periods of 7,000 years for us to remove bread of shame. How do you remove bread of shame? By sharing. By taking care of somebody else. By earning and pulling your own weight. I keep using your language because it's accurate. It's right. By pulling our own weight, we slowly remove bread of shame. But at the same time, there are times when we don't pull our own weight. And we add to bread of shame in this world as well. This is why the world has pain. Because removing bread of shame is like pulling your skin off, piece by piece. Because bread of shame is a feeling. Feeling is an illusion. We know that because our emotions always change. Today I woke up, I wasn't feeling happy. Tomorrow I will wake up absolutely ecstatic. So it changes. Therefore, it's got to be an illusion. Because the Creator never changes. He is consistent. And his consciousness, his actions are only sharing. There is no such thing as the retribution of the Creator. God is not mean or angry or any of those things that are described. That's what people are like. God is not like people. God is only sharing. I can curse him, God forbid. I can hate him, God forbid. He's still going to love me. He's still going to share with me. This is his nature. Not that his nature can't be changed, but he has arrived at a consciousness that love is where it's at. And he wants us to experience that through our own process of learning. that's what this world is about. Now I'm going to give you another metaphor for how the world was created. In addition to one metaphor called the Big Bang that we all in the 20th century got taught in school something about the Big Bang. But the current physics theories is called the M theory. And that vessel, the idea of the physical world was created through a sexual metaphor of a injection into an empty universe through a membrane of limited amount of energy. Of course, to us, it's unlimited because it's every aspect of energy that ever came into existence. Happiness is an energy. The atomic bomb is an energy. Food is energy that's transformed from sunlight, which is energy. We use the word energy a lot, but it's really energy and mass is really an aspect of consciousness. And that's what modern science is teaching. You've heard the question, will the tree fall in the woods if nobody's there to hear it? And that's where modern science is asking, and Kabbalists have been saying this for 3,000 years, 3,500, 3,400 years, actually. These two metaphors of the M theory and the Big Bang are not mutually exclusive. They're both correct. They're just different aspects, different metaphors for us to understand. The agreement that was made between the light and the vessel sounds a little like this. The light will fulfill me, yet only after I earn the fulfillment. If I take a shortcut and get the fulfillment without earning the vessel, without earning it, the vessel will lose the fulfillment. If I earn the fulfillment, it will be given to me in the endless world and other spiritual worlds, not in the physical world. In other words, I earn the light in this world through good deeds and sharing and going against my nature, which is the desire to receive for oneself alone. I receive the fulfillment in the endless world throughout eternity. There is only one problem with this. In the physical world, if you see the path to your fulfillment, you do not earn the light. You do not remove bread of shame. You do not get to keep light in any of the worlds. This physical world does not let us see the eternal fulfillment, and thus this world appears to have endless pain instead of endless fulfillment. This agreement was made for 50,000 years. In the 20th century, we have learned that time is relative, so these 50,000 years are actually 13.5 billion solar years. These 50,000 years are broken into 7,000 year periods, of which we are in the second of the seven. Now, there are some Kabbalists who believe that our suffering means that the last five of these 7,000 year periods do not have to happen. They are in the minority, yet they might be true. That's too much to go into tonight. Let's discuss our 7,000-year period. It started on the 25th of Elul in the year 1. This meant that Adam was created on Rosh Hashanah, or the first Tishrei, first of the Tishrei in the first year. We have 6,000 years from then to fulfill our destiny, which is to remove bread of shame. Sorry, I lost my place. I usually don't read from this, but tonight's class is so many different details. I apologize for that. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm going to do that.
We have 6,000 years for them from them to fulfill our destiny, which is to remove bread of shame for the whole vessel, or actually our part of it. We do this by going against our nature. We do this by stretching our limits and doing things that make us uncomfortable. We do this by our own choice, or by the process of doing actions that are negative, and we do not see them as negative, and then having the boomerang law manifest in our life with chaos, like financial pressures, marriages that fail, diseases, heartaches, pain and suffering, and eventually death. Thus, we have two choices to remove bread of shame. We can choose to do it ourselves, or we can allow the universe to do it for us with pain and suffering. Doing it yourself is faster and less painful. Letting the universe do it is called harsh judgment. Doing it ourselves with our own free choice is called soft judgment, or sweetening the judgment. When the universe removes bread of shame, it feels like pulling the skin off of your body, piece by piece. When you choose to remove bread of shame on a conscious level, it feels like heaven on earth. Remember, never believe a word I say. I will ask you to prove this to yourself by doing what I suggest over the next number of weeks. The choice is yours. Why not try it, since the way of chaos has been your lot throughout life up till now? The reason I can say that is no one comes to study Kabbalah who hasn't had chaos in their life. The person who claims that everything is rosy and everything is beautiful may very well be true in this lifetime, but there are more lifetimes. And there will always be the boomerang law, which says, my action comes back to me. This world, I am in this world to remove bread of shame. And the way I remove bread of shame is by being a cause, by being like the Creator, like sharing, but being a creator, being a cause. That's why I'm in this world. So if I'm an effect, if I'm the cause where I've caused somebody else pain, that pain is going to come back to me. If I've shared with somebody, that positivity is going to come back to me. That's the boomerang law, and it always works. There's just one problem. We have something called time. Time means that if I walk into a store stole a piece of candy like I did when I was 10 years old, my hand didn't fall off. So I don't see the effect of my negative action right away. I may not have that pain in my hand for three lifetimes. I can't relate what was the cause to this effect. That's the illusion. And that's what gives us free choice. And that's how we earn the removal of bread of shame. Our world started with Adam and Chava, who brought this world into an even lower state of consciousness due to their mistake, which the religions of the world call a sin. They wanted to return to the endless due to buyer's remorse. So they did not follow the mitzvah, do not eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. This took the concept of evil from being outside of us and injected it into our bodies. This made the achievement of our goal to remove bread of shame that much harder, because inside of us is a voice saying, go after that woman. You know, you're married, it's okay. Go after that woman anyway. Oh, you like food? I like food. Okay, you want to weigh 400 pounds? Which I don't, but close. You know, this is the issue. Where is that coming from? We, after this mistake of Adam and Chava, we're no longer a desire to receive, which is what we were in the endless world, and what we were meant to be in this world. We are a desire to receive for oneself alone. And our job in this world, to remove bread of shame, we have to transform that selfishness into sharing and change the desire to receive for oneself alone into the desire to receive in order to share. These words are very exact, and they're very specific, and this is all part of what Kabbalah will teach. We are not altruistic by nature, nor are we expected to be. We just learn, like every Kabbalist has learned, that the way to eternal fulfillment is through receiving for the purpose of sharing. What does that mean? In any society, a member of that society desires what others that others succeed by my efforts. I work and they enjoy the fruits. I work in order to provide and share with others. This is the paradox. If I am thinking about others, then there are others taking care of my needs, and I do not have to provide for myself. We have not reached completion of this ideal yet. That is the idea expressed by modern societies. I make sure there is health care for everyone else, and then I can go to the doctor also. Now, if we look back on the history of the world in this cycle of 7,000 years, remember, we only have 6,000 years, because the seventh day, the last 1,000 years, is Shabbat, the day of rest, the day of partial payment for the pain and suffering that we might have gone through or the good deeds that we choose to do on our own. Remember, as above, so below, this is a spiritual law. This means what happened before will happen again. What happened in your lifetime at the beginning will happen in your lifetime again. With only 6,000 years left, it means that we only have 226 years to achieve our tikkun, our correction, and to help to bring the Mashiach with peace instead of with the Armageddon war. We will discuss this more below. In the first 10 generations from Adam to Noah, each person in the generation could have achieved the removal of bread of shame for the whole world. We did not do this. Thus, the next 10 generations of the world had a more difficult tikkun. They needed to bring the Mashiach with the assistance of their family members. Please note, it is always more difficult to fix something through cooperation than through your own efforts. Again, we did not fix the world tikkun or correction. In each generation, there were some individual tikkunim achieved, but the whole, as the world as a whole, the answer was no. By the way, Noah's generation was the generation of the flood. And then when Abraham was born, the 20th generation, the Tower of Babel incident occurred. Now Hashem activated his mercy and gave the world a third opportunity. Only this time it would take the cooperation of a nation that was built after three generations of one family, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. And out of the 12 different aspects which became the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. That is the tikkun of the children of Israel to correct the world. And each of the other 70 nations had their own individual national tikkun. This is why the Torah was given along with the tools of the Kabbalah. Let us recap. The one vessel of the endless world agreed to a creation that would allow them to remove bread of shame by sharing within an illusion called our physical world. This illusion allows us to see each other as being separate from each other, when in reality we are all one vessel. In this illusion, we have gone through many lifetimes where we have had the opportunity to bring our own individual correction and also a global correction. Those parts of the vessel who have achieved their individual correction, tikkun, no longer reincarnate. and instead wait for the rest of us to achieve our tikkunim. This is why the world appears to be getting darker and less sharing, when in fact it's not. There's that much more light. There's that much more sharing, but we can't see it. Our senses are designed not to let us see. One path is the path. The global tikkun is yet to be achieved and will be achieved through one of the two paths. One path is that of pain and suffering, and this path will culminate in the Armageddon war that has been forecast or prophesized in the Book of Prophets and elsewhere. The other path is personal choice, by sharing, by going out of your own comfort zone, by doing the things that you know to be right from your intuition. That way will be the prophecy of the lamb lying down, or the lion lying down with the lamb, a way of peace, a way of serenity and prosperity, and so forth. This is called the path of Torah. That is what the Kabbalah teaches, that is what I teach. There are various metaphors taught to help explain this process of tikkun. One is the breaking of the vessels, which is the 10 sephirot in a straight line, and the other is the tree of life, as we discussed above. The Ari teaches that the tree was caused by the breaking of the vessels, since the sephirot did not communicate with each other while in a straight line. One created the other, but never communicated. There was coercion. You'll come into existence. There was not love. There was not communication. The purpose, when the vessels broke, sparks of light, of pleasure, fell into the klipot. Klipot is a shell. It's negativity. It's like an orange has a peel. You want to eat the orange, you've got to take out the peel, because it doesn't taste very good if you eat it with the peel. It's the same idea. We have to remove the klipot from the light, from the sparks of light that fell. And by doing that, we elevate that spark back to where it belongs. And that's part of our job. It's a metaphor of our job in this world. The other metaphor is that we will achieve our tikkun through doing mitzvot of the Torah and raise our consciousness by choice to arrive at a level of psychic abilities and mind over matter, or love your neighbor as yourself. All of these terms represent different aspects of the sephirot and states of consciousness. The ultimate state of consciousness is return to the endless world without bread of shame. Individual tikkuns are aspects of the global tikkun, as well as the global tikkun is a second aspect of the individual tikkun. What this means is each soul has two tikkunim to do, plus repairing all the mistakes they've made in all the lifetimes, we've made in all our lifetimes. But ultimately, we have two specific tikkuns to do. One is something that no one else in the world can do. And one is something that other people can do for you if you choose not to. Not everybody, but people who come from the same part of Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve. If you came from the leg of Adam, then the tikkun, the mistake that Adam did, he walked up to the tree. The leg participated in that walking. It has an aspect of dealing with movement and correcting things dealing with movement. The global tikkun of the leg, of all the souls that come from the leg, is having to do with movement. But if you don't achieve it, if you go in and don't become a locomotive engineer, as an example, or you don't become an airplane pilot, but somebody else who comes from it will become that airplane pilot. They will become the train driver. But there is something that only you can do. No one else in the world can do, and we will wait until you do it, because we cannot return to the endless until every spark, every soul does their tikkun. When you realize that there's something that only I can do, I'm better than everybody else in the world. They can't do what I can do. They have to wait on me. When you feel that, that's when you get the idea and start to remember that your beginning was a worthless piece of sperm, a nothingness, a waste product. And when you get the idea that you are worthless because life isn't treating you so nicely, that's when you realize that you are the son of a king, son of a creator. You were created by a perfect entity. This is the balance that we strive to maintain in this world. The individual tikkun is always simple actions that anybody can do. Things like telling someone the time when they ask, or going out of your way to get someone a glass of water. Of course, when that person asks for the time, you will be rushing to get to an important business meeting where your billion-dollar deal will be signed. And how can you take the time to stop and tell the homeless person what time it is? But that's your tikkun. That's your action to treat people with human dignity. It's not easy, but it is simple. Another metaphor, as I mentioned, we came into this world to be a cause and not an effect. In that regard, we do not do anything because someone commands us. Even God cannot command us, since there is no coercion in spirituality. We must choose to do actions of being a cause by ourselves. This is the idea of a tikkun. It is simple, yet difficult for us to do. It would be easy for me to do that tikkun, but I cannot do that for you. I can see what your tikkun is. You can see what my tikkun is. But you can't do it for me, and I can't do it for you. And I won't hear you tell me what my tikkun is, because that's not removing bread of shame. Kabbalah will teach you how to have a personal experience of the Creator that will be at the level that you want it to be. It can be intellectual experience, or it can be emotional experience. It can be psychic experiences. The choice is yours as to what level you wish to go. All of that is available to be taught in the Kabbalah. The path of Torah teaches us how to experience personally the Creator in our life, how to see how He provides, how to see how He interacts with us.
The facilities will be closed in 30 minutes. The front desk will be closed. Copy 7. Library Card Foundation has 15 minutes of close. Thank you.
These personal experiences of the Creator can take the form of whatever level you want. It can be perceiving the Word of God. To that effect, our name, as we study it, will teach us what Hashem wants us to do in this lifetime, in this physical world. An example of this is my name, Hanok, which is spelled with four Hebrew letters. The shorash for my name means dedication, as in dedicating a building, as well as it means teaching. On a deeper level, the first two letters of my name, Ched and Nun, spell the word comfort, and also are a phrase that translates as Chachmat Nestar, hidden wisdom. The last two letters have a gematria of 26, which is the gematria of the name of Hashem called the Tetragrammaton, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Therefore, my job in this world and everyone else whose name is Hanoch is to teach the hidden wisdom of Hashem. Now, does everybody who's named Hanoch study Kabbalah? No. Not necessarily in this lifetime. Why were they named Hanoch? Just like you received your names, at that moment, whoever gave you the name was given insight into your soul and what you were to do. And that's why your name, when converted to Hebrew letters, will do that. When you look at the Hashem website, which I recommend you do, you'll see that information. I have a database of 18,000 plus names. Not many of them have been analyzed so that you can get it directly. But as over time, it will all be done. As we make solicit donations, eventually we hope to have it all automated. There are also verses in the Torah that are the same essence as my name. These verses are Hashem speaking to me over the centuries, over the lifetimes. I have to learn how to interpret what he's saying. There are two other areas of the Kabbalah that will help you understand your life and to remove the chaos that you have created because of your ignorance. Remember you as part of the vessel made this agreement to remove bread of shame. These two other areas are Hebrew astrology, because part of the tikkun is to exchange energy on an unconscious level. This is why sometimes you think you are driving home from work and you pass a car in the freeway lane next to you. The reason you pass this car is that you need to receive energy from them or to share energy to them as part of the world tikkun. This takes place on an unconscious level, but is more efficient on a conscious level. It is up to you if you want to raise your consciousness to know that you are exchanging this energy and assists in the mechanism. The purpose of astrology is to move your body to the locations where these energy exchanges can take place. Move your body to experience interactions with people that allow you to achieve your tikkun. But at that moment, when you are put into that place and the other person is put into that place, you have free choice. Are you going to give them the glass of water? Are you going to answer the question, what time is it? Or are you going to ignore it yet again and have to come back and do it all over? Another part of the Kabbalah is meditation, which will eventually teach you to cleave to the Creator and experience astral travel and other psychic abilities. These meditative techniques will allow you to visit the other worlds and the other dimensions that are part of the creation. All of this is your choice, and the extent you want the personal experience of the Creator is the extent you will cleave to the Creator. These 20 weekly classes will teach all that you need to know about the Kabbalah. At the end of the 20 weeks, you will have learned the tools of Kabbalah to remove the chaos from your life. Of course, you will then have to implement these tools in your life to make that happen. These are not intellectual tools. They are experiential tools. Remember, you have the free choice to experience all that you wish to experience, and also the choice to wait for the next process. There will be people who choose the path of Torah, and there will be people who choose the path of the Armageddon War. I have chosen the path of Torah. It's up to you to choose your own path. Eventually, we all will complete our tikkun. We will all return to the endless together. The only question will be, will it be a longer or a shorter path? Now, I must mention something about a spiritual law. This law states that energy must be exchanged for energy, or it will cause bread of shame. To this effect, you are receiving energy as knowledge and information, and the wisdom through these classes. They are free of charge, although we do ask for donations in order to provide you the opportunity to avoid bread of shame. No one is turned away from these classes due to the inability or the unwillingness to make a donation. Donations can be made to other people, other organizations. It does not have to be made to me or to the Yeshem organization. Of course, I do prefer if you make it to Yeshem, since my ability to continue these classes depends on my ability to raise funds for gas, food, and as I travel and pay my creditors. Donations can be made by credit or debit card, either here or at other times. They can be done through PayPal, by check, or cash. They can be made here into an envelope. Or they can be made by mailing checks if you wish, or however you wish to handle it. If you want, I will provide you my checking account number and you can make the deposit by mail directly there. I don't need to know who makes a donation. It doesn't matter to me. And later you will understand what that really means in another class. It doesn't matter to me because I know Hashem provides for my needs. He provides for my needs by having people make donations, by having people share with me, because I am sharing and I am doing the work that He has told me is my work in this world. Not everybody has that gift yet, but the knowledge of Kabbalah will give you that. It will give you the fulfillment. It will give you the happiness. But first there has to be cleansing of the mistakes that you made through ignorance. I only stay in an area for about 3 months. This happens to be an unusual period. What I do is travel from city to city, teaching for 10, 12, 14 weeks. But the class is 20 weeks. It's up to you if you wish to build a community that wants to meet. The people on this phone call are in Louisiana, they're in Texas, they're in New Jersey, they're all over the country and all over the world. I have students in Croatia, I have students in England, I have students in Israel. I use the technology of the internet and the virtual world. But I know that people respond to meeting and knowing who they're dealing with. And so I travel every 3 months to a different city. I live in an extended stay hotel. It's not a comfortable lifestyle, but it is my work. It is what I know to be doing. It is removing my bread of shame. Does anybody have any questions? Any questions on the phone call, or did I disconnect from you guys?
No, we're still here.
Oh, you're still here. Okay. Any questions? Next week, I'm asking the physical people, and I'm also asking anybody on the conference call to make sure that I have your email address. The reason being that one of the tools that I will teach you is called the Hebrew calendar. It's not a calendar that was designed by a man. It was a calendar that was designed by the Creator in His mercy. It tells us when there are times that you need to not do things, and when there are times to do specific things. The reason for that is you want to be in accord and in consistency with the universe. A week from tomorrow night is the beginning of three extremely negative weeks. A week from tomorrow night. This Sunday morning, I will be teaching a class online. You can call into the conference call and listen to it directly. Or I will send you the recording by email because it's important. You don't have the background to understand what it's going to be saying, but you will be able to understand what I ask you to do to avoid the majority of that negativity. During that 3-week period, every year, stay away from natural bodies of water. It's summertime. We all love to go swimming. Go swimming in a pool. Natural bodies of water, those 3 weeks are the greatest amount of accidents that happen throughout the world. I don't have to prove it to you. I won't prove it to you. It's just true. And it's for you to determine for yourself. God forbid you have one of those accidents. But you all know the story of the emergency rooms who don't understand what happens on the full moon. But they go crazy. They get more people coming in. Everybody goes crazy on full moon. What is that about? It's astrologically, it's energy. The full moon is sharing all of the light of the sun into the energy of that particular month. And so people who don't have the vessel to handle that energy get out of balance. That's what happens. The same thing applies to these three negative weeks. It starts a week from Tuesday. There are techniques and actions that you can do that minimize that. Please, on the back of this, put your name and your email. If you'd like to put your phone number, I'd appreciate that too, but it's up to you. Any other questions? No, I don't believe in reincarnation.
Because you keep on saying...
I know reincarnation is true. I know I have been in this world before. I also know what some of those are, but the only one that counts was the last one. And the last one was in the Shoah. I died in the Holocaust. Not in a camp, but in the partisans. And I died because somebody else, who I know who that person is in this lifetime. I don't know how you want to put it. He pointed me out to the Germans, and I was shot. So I need to learn to love him. That's my tikkun with him. And we all have tikkun with everybody in this room, or you wouldn't be here. The Creator is very efficient. There's no reason for someone to come into this room that doesn't have a tikkun with them. Exactly. What that reason is, Kabbalah will help you find.
I figured that.
Well, Hashem. I don't want to publicize it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Any other questions? But I just want to be clear. I don't believe anything.
Does the building will be closing in 15 minutes? The first will be closing in 7. If you have to stand out, please bring us to the front desk now.
When you say I believe, you are talking about doubt. Doubt is not in the Creator. Creator knows what's going to happen. I don't believe in reincarnation. I know it exists. I know it's there. I know why it's there. I don't mean to be such a pain.
No.
But I just...
You're passionate about it.
I am passionate about it.
So, what about all these teachings in Kabbalah? Work, how did they come into existence? Do you have an understanding that... Because I'm listening to words, and I hear, like, some of the stuff that there's a value from here. It sounds like it's from somewhere else. We talk about plants, we talk about stars, we talk about alignment, energy, and all these things. To me, it sounds like this knowledge is not from here. This knowledge is a lot greater, more powerful knowledge.
I've told you where it comes from. It comes from the Creator in the endless world. He made it, he offered us an agreement, and we said yes. In this world, when we came into this world, Adam was given a book. Adam, when he was thrown out of the garden, was given a book called the Book of Raziel, called the Book of Adam, or called the Book of Hanok. Book of Hanok has three different versions, been corrupted over the centuries. The Book of Adam was lost. The Book of Raziel is corrupted. But this information has been around since the creation of the physical world. The prayer that I spoke at the beginning, called the Ana Bekoa, is the 42-letter name of God that was used to create the physical world. I read a verse from the Zohar every week. We'll talk about it next week, why I do it. But it brings the energy of holiness into this space. That's why I do it. Yes, it comes from somewhere else. It's not human wisdom. I do a series of classes Sunday mornings alternating between that and prayer and the Mashiach. But on that class, I explain how science understands things today, and the Kabbalah explained it 2,000, 3,000 years ago. It's always been here. But people couldn't handle the information. It's like, let's imagine we're in Eastern Europe on a farm 300 years ago, and I present the farmer a computer with a battery so it works. What's he going to call it? Mysticism? Magic? The devil? Mysticism is what you don't understand. And Kabbalah knows what science is going to reveal to us 500 years from now, 200 years from now. It's all information is available in the Torah scroll in a coded way.
The Bible talks about other civilizations.
Yes. There's people living under the sea. There's the seven inner earths. There's 924 generations that occurred in the physical world before Adam. All of this is Torah. Your rabbi won't teach it to you. He's not taught. It's too uncomfortable for people. It's too out there. But you want to know the descriptions of the UFOs that we read about the last 30, 40 years? I read it in this book. So I know where they live. It's a different dimension. One of those dimensions needs water because there's no water in their world. So you'll always see those UFOs around lakes and streams and oceans. That's just one example. But whenever I say this to people, I'm a little crazy. Well, it's Cuckoo Kabbalah.
We're here. You know, and here people don't want to accept other than what they know. And we only know time, dimension, or earth, but it doesn't exist that way.
That's why we started with the dot test.
To teach you,
you have to go out of the box. And not only go out of the box, but you have to do it twice. It's a very important lesson that people don't really learn easily.
Or things going on that they don't understand and have their mind to get it. And that's the thing. That's the whole truth. The whole thing is not to get it.
Any other questions? They're going to be asking us to leave shortly. So everybody have a beautiful, beautiful evening. That is the website.
You too.
Yes.
You too. Good night.
Have a beautiful week. Good night. Oh, the next class
Thank
is at 8:30 for those who wish to join us.